Welcome to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast for corporate refugees who want to do more of what they love and get paid what they're worth. I'm David Schreiner Kahn, your guide and community builder. Smashing the Plateau is more than just a podcast. We're a platform offering resources, accountability, and camaraderie to high-performing professionals who are making the leap from the corporate career track to entrepreneurial business ownership. If you'd like to learn more about how you can do more of what you love and get paid what you're worth, go to smashingtheplateau.com or email us at info@smashingtheplateau.com.
You got to learn a different way of doing this, or you're going to be left behind on the pier as the boat's leaving. And I think that's an important thing for us to understand. Buckle up, Buttercup, and learn the new ways of doing it, and, you know, utilize the tools wherever possible.
On today's episode, you'll hear from Jeffrey Hazlett, who shares powerful insights into thriving as an entrepreneur amidst uncertainty and rapid change. We dive into the importance of resilience, the need to adapt and embrace new ways of working, and how human connection is more critical than ever in building and sustaining business success. Jeffrey unpacks why deepening relationships, staying visible, and showing up authentically can set you apart, especially in times of chaos and complexity. You'll also discover why focusing on engagement, both with your team and your network, is vital, and how becoming a recognized thought leader in your unique category can help you stand out in a crowded marketplace. This conversation is packed with actionable advice and encouragement for anyone ready to move forward in today's challenging environment. Now let's welcome Jeffrey Hazlett. Jeffrey is a global business celebrity, primetime TV and podcast host, keynote speaker, and best-selling author. As chairman and founder of the C-Suite Network, he connects executives and entrepreneurs to foster business growth. A former Fortune 100 CMO, he's known for his bold, no-nonsense approach to leadership, marketing, and innovation. Jeffrey has appeared on major media outlets sharing insights on scaling businesses and driving change. With decades of experience, he inspires leaders to think big, act bigger, and make a lasting impact. Jeffrey, welcome back to the show. Great to have you on again.
It is good to be on the show. It's good to be on all shows. I love what we're doing with podcast, television, everything. And you've been a longstanding figure in the media. So this has been great. Thank you.
Thank you. So in your previous appearances on Smashing the Plateau, you shared a few things that you have found to be key ingredients to success in business, namely mindset, work ethic, and focus. And now we're currently in a period of increased complexity and chaos, both politically, economically, and all kinds of other ways. Yeah. What do you think is most important for business success today in this very challenging environment?
Yeah, I would say the exact three things I said before. I know without question, we're in chaos. That's for sure. With this entire administration and everything else we see around it, it gives its ups and downs. Some days the market's way up. Some days it's down. Some days we have tariffs. Some days we don't. So, you know, you have to learn to deal with that. And of course, you know, it's been interesting to watch even some of our neighbors to the north, and that meaning Canada, not wanting to do business with a lot of American companies just because. So you have to learn to be, I think the other word I would use is resilient. Now, it's always been the case. You know, I've always said that the success goes to those that are most resilient. And I think that's a key factor for the future. And I think it's a key factor for business all the time is just to be resilient in everything you do. Never give up. Keep pushing it. You know, I think that's a key piece of it. You know, you just got to keep working the system, working what you're doing. And of course, adapt, change or die. And that was my first book was The Mirror Test. And I think it's always been the case for most businesses. You know, everybody talks about, you know, oh, you're failing big things. But, you know, a lot of people talking about failing. I go, stop talking about failing. Start talking about winning, because failing sucks. It really sucks. And you're always going to fail, David. You know this in business. You fail all the time. And you never hit all the hits or all the pitches that are thrown to you. But you hit some. And that's the key. And hit the ones that will get you out of first base, second base, and then hopefully home.
Yeah, I like to say is when you're an employee, if you're not hitting 9 out of 10, you're usually going to hear about it. And as an entrepreneur, if you're hitting 1 out of 10, you're probably doing really well.
You're doing pretty good. Yeah. It was a friend of mine who was in the printing industry. How to make a small fortune in printing. He said, start with a big one. Start with a big one. That was his big saying.
Yeah. So adapt, change, or die. So one of the things that I'm seeing a lot of and hearing a lot about from all kinds of folks is neither adapting, changing, nor dying, but standing still. I'm seeing a lot of indecision because of the complexity, because of the chaos. What are you seeing when it comes to that?
Well, right now I see people coming out of it. I have seen that. I've seen a lot of people waiting. And I think the first and second quarter, we saw a lot of that in the year, this being 2025. And we started seeing, we tend to see it in the C-suite opening up a little bit before. Like I said before, I was talking about printing. I used to be in the printing business, and we used to watch things slow down a quarter before they slowed down, and they sped up about a quarter before they really sped up for the economy, just because we knew that when people were doing printing, and I don't know what they would be doing now that I could tell, but I do. We meet with a lot of business executives. We see, you know, tens of thousands a month in the meetings that we do. And in doing so, we get a good feel for what's going on. And right now, I'm starting to feel a momentum pick up and start to move forward, which is kind of nice, even though I think we're in for some tough financial times. But don't forget, during the toughest financial times in the history of our country, during depressions, during recessions, some of the greatest companies were born. That doesn't mean everything dies. It just means some things die. And those that adapted and changed, those companies did extremely well. I mean, I think back to the last recession that we had here in the United States. You know, Airbnb, Uber, two companies that came out of that. Groupon was another company that came out of that. And then other companies did very well. Dollar Tree was another brand that I would say that did well. But you go even further back, you know, Apple, Microsoft in the mid-1970s during the oil crisis, those companies were born during that time period. And you go further back, you know, Hilton Hotels and a whole host of other brands were born during some pretty tough times.
Yeah. So what do you think it takes for companies to emerge like that during tough times?
Well, like we said before, resiliency and focus. I mean, you've got to really narrow down on what the problem is you're trying to solve for everybody. Then strip out all those things that don't make any difference. You know, I look at my calendar every day and, you know, I can look at it right now. It looks kind of crazy. I'm looking over here and I can see it and it's just full with this and this. But I start my day off by looking and saying, are these things going to get me to where I need to go? And, you know, as a C-suite executive, our job isn't to be the smartest person in the room. For God's sakes, that's the case, because I've been in a lot of these boardrooms and you look around that table and not everybody there is the brightest bulb. And that's just the reality. But our job is to be the most strategic. And as a leader, that's what you have to do. So during those tough times, you've got to really look and make some tough decisions, sometimes some very lonely decisions. And then you've got to get everybody that's in that room aligned. And then you got to get the rest of the company aligned as fast as possible about where you're going and how fast you're trying to get there.
So let's dig a little bit deeper there. One of the things that I have heard from our Smashing the Plateau community members, who are primarily consultants, is projects being put on hold, projects not getting renewed, people with whom they've had longstanding relationships ghosting them. And I've also heard on the flip side from people who are inside companies looking for talent that they're inundated with applications, whether it's for employees or for consultants. AI makes it easier than ever to tailor your application if you're a job seeker, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it makes it really daunting for the hiring manager and HR to sift through all of this stuff to find what is really needed to solve a problem. So I have sort of a two-part question, which is, we're in this age of major technological change because of AI. We have a lot of chaos and complexity and indecision. If you're a consultant, how do you move forward? How do you adapt, change, and be resilient in the face of what I just described? Indecision, ghosting, right? and I have the same question on the executive side. Now you interact a lot with executives. They're facing the same issue on the other side.
Well, so first of all, so that's a great question, and you are exactly seeing, especially the ghosting part, where just people just disappear, and then but they end up showing up like 5-6 months later because they need something from you. So I think the key to that is human first. That is those human connections, the community. If you're part of a community, if you're part of a network where you're with trusted executives, that's going to be continually powerful because they're still going to pick up the phone. They're still going to email. They're still going to text you. And we're starting to see a lot of different ways of communication changing as a result of that. And I think we are going to be inundated with, we can't tell what's real and what's not because of AI. And the fact that, no offense to my assistant, she can now write a proposal almost as well as I can just by utilizing AI or going inside of our internal AI system and pulling it from everybody's files, which then becomes, wow, that's actually pretty good. Now I have to get better at doing the leveraging points that I need in those relationships so they don't ghost me. They don't walk away. And I think that's what the human element's going to play in this thing, David. I think we're still figuring it out. And I think we're, a lot of us, quite frankly, you can look at us. We both got a little white hair there, a little gray hair. You know, we're old dogs. But, dude, they say old dogs can't learn new tricks. You got to learn new tricks. You got to learn a different way of doing this, or you're going to be left behind on the pier as the boat's leaving. And I think that's an important thing for us to understand that, you know, I get it. I like the way it used to be. I like the way we did it that way. I got used to it. Well, it ain't that way anymore. So buckle up, Buttercup, and learn the new ways of doing it and you know, utilize the tools wherever possible.
Yeah. So what do you see that's new when it comes to communication?
Oh, I'm video. So I'm using video. There's a new platform out there called Emovid that I'm using pretty heavily, and that's getting me through. It's asynchronous to AI video, and it's allowing me to really connect with people in different ways. And I'm using that more than email because I'm just finding email's not working like it used to because all of us, we select, deselect what's relevant, what's irrelevant. If we're doing it and we're trying to get through to people that we're saying, please don't do that. And yet we have to be able to break through. So I'm finding different ways to be able to break through on those messages. And then, quite frankly, I'm using the human element of connection, you know, that community. I'm going to more community events. I'm showing up at more things where I can be seen and discovered. You know, I call it reach, discovery, conversion. So I'm spending a lot more time. You know, I'm a keynoter as well. And a lot of people would say for professional speakers, I'm in the Hall of Fame. They would say never accept an event for free. Heck no. Oh, of course I will. If I'm in front of the right audience, you know, I'm going to go and do that event. And of course, you know, I walk away with $500,000 contract, a seat on the board, and, you know, 3 more speaking engagements, all because I did that free speech. Well, it's all about what's relevant, who's in the audience, and how I can be able to reach it. And I couldn't have done that with AI. I couldn't have done that with just an email. I couldn't have done that with a texting campaign. You know, it was really, truly being on a cruise ship for 7 days, which you would have killed me to do 3 years ago, just because I just didn't, you know, I'm not spending that time, but I got 3 more booked already this year.
Wow. Yeah. So that definitely speaks to how things are changing.
Yeah. And by the way, you wouldn't have never done that. I would have helicoptered in to the cruise ship, all right, or to the port city, done the speech and got off at the next day at the next port of call, just because I'm not going to get stuck. But now I'm finding, no, stay on that ship. Get, you know, do the keynote, do it as early as possible. And then, of course, make yourself available every day in the cafeteria. Hello, here I am every day at the same time. Come talk to me. Come do business, you know. And not that I'm, you know, wearing a banner or anything else, but being visible and being, as I said, accessible. And in a way that people said, oh, my gosh, you know, I can't believe I'm talking to you. I can't believe you're taking the time. Well, first of all, I'm on a boat. Where am I going to go? And, you know, second, no, that's exactly what I want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So which is what you've been saying all along, which is it's all about the human relationship.
Yep.
And how do we find ways to deepen relationships, right, in an age where people are inundated and dealing with chaos all the time?
Yeah, have a relationship. First, it's just pretty simple. Show up, have a relationship. Unique, you know, it's very unique. It's like, you know, a number of years ago, I was listening to somebody talk about a keynote saying it's all about relationships now. And I looked around at like 3 or 4 people and said, when the hell did it stop? You know, that's the key. You know, great, great speaker, Bob Bodine, out of Dallas, Texas. He's on the board for the Rangers. He's one of the greatest recruiters for athletics and sports teams and a lot of executives. And he wrote his first book was The Power of Who. And I still remember it. I remember reading it 20 years ago. And that book is everybody you need to know, you already know. It's just a matter of how you work those relationships and the way in which you show value. And if you show value, you're going to be successful. You've done that in your career. I know I've certainly done that. Most people would say I'm one of the best relationship people because I'm always putting people together. I'm always thinking that first, not saying, hey, what's in it for me first? It's what can I do to help you? In fact, if I answer the phone, you would call me today. I would say, hey, how can I help you? That's my first question every time.
And I know from personal experience, Jeffrey, you're phenomenal at it.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's just being, I'm not patting on my back. It's just being a person. That's the way I look at it. And if you're human, if you're a person, well, maybe it rubs off on somebody else and you get the benefit back. Every once in a while, David, you know that you get burned in these things. You get burned in making introductions or doing this or helping people. But, you know, I'd much rather have that happen than the opposite.
Yeah, me too. So I want to go back to what we were talking about before with, the challenges that businesses are facing today. And in particular, when it comes to trying to solve critical business challenges, connecting with the right kinds of professionals and who have the right skills to solve those problems. What do you see as the most critical business challenges companies need to solve now?
I think it's internal and it's engagement with their teams. And so, I interview so many executives. I'm about to start my new show and I'm filming on the New York Stock Exchange, which is just a phenomenal place. And somebody said, how are you going to change your show? I said, no, I'm still going to interview the same people, still called All Business, just a different venue. But the thing that I do when I'm talking to most executives, David, the biggest problem they always talk about is talent and how they keep good people, motivate people, how they find good people, how they reward good people. And I say good people, not bad people. They're trying to still get rid of the bad people, although most of us don't get rid of them fast enough. But it's the engagement. They say 53% of the employees aren't engaged in the company. Holy moly, that's a massive number. And I would say that I've had those issues too. We all have those issues, but then I just decide, hey, I just don't need that. And I find out I can do without them, but I want the people that are there. I want them to be motivated, excited. I want them to go to bed at night, hoping they hurry up and wake up so fast they can get going the next morning. So I see engagement is probably the biggest thing that out of touch. And especially, because COVID did a lot for us, good and bad. It made days became weeks became months became years. So this period of speed has been greater than even the digital age. And COVID caused that, in my opinion. And that was a result. And then the other thing is this displaced workforce, right? We're happy with it. I'm not saying, I'm one of those people. You're interviewing me in my home office right now. I have an office a couple miles away. I just prefer to work from home. And I'm still engaged with my team and so forth. If you'd asked me that 10 years ago, I would have thought you were nuts. But you got to find different ways to engage with people and see each other, not just over the video. I think you still need that element from time to time where we're all together and we're, getting to know each other and there's that personal connection. You can still get it, don't get me wrong, on the video. Certainly video and audio. We prove that every day on podcast and TV.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to shift and talk a little bit about something that, we've mentioned the word community and, you're excellent when it comes to building and engaging people in community. What do you think are the key ingredients to build a successful community?
Content. Content leads to community. Communities lead to commerce. But at the same time, I'll give you this. Years ago, I was partners with Sheldon Adelson, one of the richest men in the world. And I worked with him at Comdex, helping him with tech investments and so forth. And I once asked him, I said, Sheldon, what makes a great trade show? And he said, attendees beget exhibitors, exhibitors beget attendees. And so for communities, you got to have a good reason to meet, and then you have good people that help to drive it. Mm-hmm. So you have to have a good purpose. Purpose will drive the people, and people will drive the purpose. So that's important. And content's what gets us there, right? You know, we've been doing content since the dawn of modern business times. You know, we did it, but through advertising and mass media. And now we're finding things like podcasts, television shows, books, articles, you know, different ways of being able to get that content out there so that people can find what they want. And we don't have all this other noise out there. We just get to smaller groups of people. And I'm A-okay with that because I'm with the people who really want, you know, have the purpose behind it, and not those who think they might want to do those things, but really do. And so that's what I would say are the key ingredients.
Great. Thank you for sharing that.
You bet.
I want to, since our community is focused on helping corporate refugees start, run, and grow their own business so they can do more of what they love and get paid what they're worth, I'm curious to hear your take on what might be one thing a corporate refugee can do today to help them move forward.
Become the thought leader in their area. You know, today, to be at the top of your game, first of all, you have to, you know, to be a thought leader, you have to have haters, you have to be quoted, you have to have all these things. I about 10 or 15 things. Randy Gage once put out an article about that, and I thought it was the best one I've ever seen. That's what describes a thought leader. And I think you have to be the thought leader of your category, whatever the category is. Create your category and be the thought leader of that category, whatever it is. You know, we did that with DocuSign and document transactional management, not just e-signature, but we're going to create a category that says we're going, the real power of a contract isn't the contract. It's finding the signed contract, you know, and how many times have we sit there and said, where's that contract? You know, when you have a dispute. And so being a thought leader in your category, I think is absolutely critical. And I don't care. It can be a small category or a big category, but if you're the leader, then everybody's going to come to you. And that's you have to carve that out. You can't just be, a lot of folks are, you know, speakers and authors and coaches and trainers, and great. So are in North America alone, so are 1.2 million people are considered keynote speakers in this country. That's not a destination. That's a tool. Mm-hmm. And so I want to be more than a tool. I want to be the guy or the gal that's at the top of the food chain when someone says, I need someone who does whatever, fill in the blank.
I couldn't have said it better.
And by the way, I want some people to say, that guy's nuts. He's crazy. I don't like him. Fantastic. Bring it, baby, because that just makes it all the much better.
Well, also, if you're not annoying somebody, you're probably not standing for anything.
Well, but again, let's get back to this ghosting thing. I want you to say yes or tell me no. I'm fine with the no, because then I can move you off and move to somebody who really deserves to have the things I have to offer or want to do.
Well said. Yeah. Jeffrey, we've covered a bunch of different topics. Before we close out, is there anything I haven't asked you that you'd like to share?
That South Dakota, where I live, is the best state, and you should come and see us at some point. We got Mount Rushmore Crazy Horse, and we'd love to have you.
Sounds good. Jeffrey, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today. If somebody wants to learn more about you, you have a ton of resources. Where's the best place to learn more about you, get in touch with you, follow you, access your resources, etc.?
Two places I tell you to go to csuitenetworks.com, csuitenetworks.com, or go to hazlett.com, hazlett.com.
Great. Thank you. Jeffrey, thank you so much for taking the time to come back and join us again on Smashing the Plateau. Share a little bit about your experiences and your great insights. My guest today has been the chairman and founder of C-Suite Network, Jeffrey Hazlett. Thank you, Jeffrey, for joining us.
My pleasure.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of Smashing the Plateau. Our mission is empowering people like you to do more of what you love and get paid what you're worth. Help us spread the message that you can connect passion with profit. Please share this episode with a friend, share it on LinkedIn, and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. I wish you much success in smashing your plateau. See you on our next episode.